This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight.
Fans, we're here for you. Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, the Fan, 1250 AM, and the freeradio.com app. Packers fall in the NFC title, and we're here for you for the next several months to get ready for the 2020 season and excursion of Packers football. But we'll take the look back, as excruciating as it may be, for the next 4 hours as to what went wrong for the Packers last night. Everything, seemingly. But we have the right guys to be talking about it. Gary Ellerson, former Badger and Packer running back. Also heard him last night on the 5 o'clock Steakhouse Green and Gold post-game show. Leap 36 joining us. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, who called it all week, what would happen, and maybe we all just didn't want to listen. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch. But Gary, last night, first off and foremost, great work by you and Bill all year long on the 5 o'clock Steakhouse Green and Gold post-game show. But it comes to an end last night that just felt like, well, here we are. We're lucky to be here, and now we have the painful parts of the ending for it.
Yeah, that's a wrap. I mean, I think in some ways, if you just want to look back at that game, it might have been worse than the first time that you played.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I say that is because you knew what was coming. You knew the game plan. I mean, you knew what they could do. You knew their might. I mean, you knew. I don't think there was any surprises here. I mean, there were surprises. It was a surprise that they could just handle us like they did.
It was a surprise that the 1960s Packers were playing in the 49ers uniform.
Yeah, and that was surprising. And I had said a long time ago I thought this was the best team in the NFC, but I didn't see them being like this good. Meaning like this good is that, okay, you tell your quarterback, just hand it off.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, we're going to have Sparky come over and play quarterback for you guys, and we're still going to beat you because we really ain't going to run the football. I mean, 3rd and 8, they ran it, got a first down. Are you kidding me? I mean, when you that just tells you, Billy, how far apart the Packers and the 49ers are. I think we probably got a taste of how far apart they are.
And we got some brutally honest answers last night from the Packers locker room and by the coaching staff as well of where and how far that gap was. Sparky, last week you told us all week long that you just said, look, guys, 37-8, I just don't know how it changes that way. And the numbers and different times that teams have done it before cloud the vision, and also a little bit of phantom and hope. But there was no difference from what you saw the first time to what you saw this time. But the difference was Raheem Mostert was the beneficiary and just ran roughshod over the Green Bay Packers. Now, the two highest rushing performances by San Francisco 49ers, Colin Kaepernick and Raheem Mostert, both against the Green Bay Packers.
That's special. Look, line play. We talked about it last week, and that is what it came down to. They just got manhandled up front, and there was nothing you could do about it. They just continued. They enforced their will whenever they wanted to enforce their will. And then you get some junk scoring in the second half, and it's, oh, here come the Packers. It's like, no, it's not. They're not going anywhere. It's over, folks. It was over. It was over, really. When it was 14-0, it was over.
Well, it was over when it was 17-0, and you fumbled the snap on the 20-yard line.
There's another one. But I was done with it before that point. Just everybody in our house, they're all Packer fans. Everybody's like, this is over. There's just no way. You didn't see how it was going to change. You can talk about second half adjustments, but you getting your butt kicked physically was not going to change in the second half. And you knew in the second half, after they pounded you in the first half, that you were going to get tired in the second half because you've been getting pounded on the whole first half. So eventually that was going to be a problem too. And then running the football, similar to the first game, you got down. So then you had to start to throw the football again. So we still don't know if they could really run effectively for four quarters against this team, because in both games, you were chasing. I just, the thing that I talked about last night, Green and Gold overtime, and at some point, we'll talk about on this show, maybe they got to switch schemes. maybe they got to think about going to more of a 4-3 scheme like the Giants had with four tall, long dudes up front. It's kind of like San Francisco, and try and get pressure with just four dudes and give you a better chance of stopping the run. Because this is not the Seattle Seahawks with Russell Wilson on a rookie contract. They're paying dudes already on this deal. These dudes are already getting paid. So this team here isn't going anywhere. They might lose Solomon Thomas after next year, but for the most part, this team ain't going anywhere. So if you can't figure out how to stop them defensively and slow down that ground game, then you are going to continue to run your head into a wall every time you play them, whether it's in San Francisco, whether it's in Green Bay, or whether it's in Hale's Corners. It's not going to matter because they own you right now. That's it. Plain and simple. Now you got to go to San Francisco next year. And last night we talked about that too. Want to bet that ends up being the Thursday night kickoff game for the regular season this year? Ends up being Green Bay at San Francisco to start the season again? And we'll get to watch this all over again? That's what they have to figure out. And if you stay with the 3-4 scheme, congratulations. You need multiple inside linebackers. And you better find somebody better than Tyler Lancaster and Lowry to play next to Kenny Clark, because they got whooped. And in most times and situations throughout the course of a year, you don't got to play those other guys because you're a nickel and dime the whole time. You don't have to worry about playing a base 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
But they kept you on the field, and they whooped you because you didn't have enough guys.
They kept B.J. Goodson on the field, yep. And they kept the slower pace of the Packers defense on the field. But what also was the most frustrating part of it to me was the Packers never set the edge one time last night on defense. They never got the edge. And when you're talking about two guys that you paid the amount of money that you did to, Preston Smith, Gary, I thought was going to come in here, and while I thought he would build upon the success as a pass rusher, and I didn't necessarily see 10.5 sacks, I saw him being a guy that could stop the run and set the edge all year, and they just got beat. They just got drummed. And I mean, that's the most frustrating part, and it has Aaron Rodgers answer the question of just how big is the talent gap after the game like this.
Well, it looks pretty big. You know, you got us a couple times, but I don't think it's that big. I think we're really close. I think we're just just a little more consistent performance away from consistently playing with these guys. But, you know, we got them at home, their place, twice. I've said this before, you know, we got to get one of these at home. It's a different ball game.
No, it's not.
You know, playing in 20-degree weather, snow, cold, and wind is a different type of game than playing here.
Not when you only throw the ball 8 times, Aaron. Yeah. Don't matter. Because when you're in the cold and you're in the wind and the snow, what do you want? You want to be able to run the ball, right? Ryan Grant, pound him into submission, run the ball. Eddie Lacy, run him in December. That's what we do. They pounded you into submission in beautiful weather in San Francisco. They would have pounded you into submission in Green Bay. It don't matter where you play the stupid football game.
It's not like he threw it 40 times. I think he was 6 of 8.
Eight times.
For 77 yards.
That was Tannehill-like.
Yeah, he went over an hour and a half of real time without throwing a pass.
Yeah, I mean, so there's nothing changing there. I mean, it's just, you know what? You won 14 games, and I know I didn't see 14 games. And I'm not going to get into the whole playing with house money and all that, but you just didn't think that they could get beat down the way they got beat down. I mean, and when you talk about Billy setting the edge, that's not coaching.
No, that's a mindset.
That's a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Mike Pettine's got nothing to do with setting the edge. I think they ran a reverse, I believe, with Deebo Samuels, where Preston Smith just straight came down inside, and then they just chipped him and pushed him on down. That one coaching.
There was another one where Fackrell was more concerned about the guard that was coming than the ball carrier.
That's got nothing to do with Mike Pettine.
I agree.
I know a lot of people today want Mike Pettine fired. I see a lot of that everywhere. And I also read somewhere where I heard Matt LaFleur talks about, well, man, we did a lot of one high safety guys in the box. He goes, now I got to go back and take a look at the film. But
mm-hmm.
he goes, that just shouldn't be that way, you know, and it shouldn't. I don't know what more you could do. Maybe you could blitz more. I mean, I don't know if they were playing vanilla. Like I said, I got to go back and look at it again. But I know they just got manhandled. They got straight manhandled. Like, my guy is better than your guy. But we saw this all year long, though, with San Fran. I mean, we saw this really all year long with the Packers, too, in that we knew that they could be ran on. I mean, we saw little
doses
of that.
This is the recipe to beat the Packers all year long.
We saw it, but a lot of people couldn't do it because the Packers would get up a little bit, and then that forced the teams to throw, and then when they would throw, then the Smith guys would go off. These guys came in here and said, you know what? We ain't even going to throw. We ain't going to try to throw the ball.
It's frustrating because I want to go back to the first third down where it appears that if you get a pickup there, you're on the plus side of the field. You already stopped them once. You were able to run the ball all night, but you just did not have the opportunity because you were down 27 points. Like, there were ways that the game is different.
Right.
But in the end, Gary, it looked like the 21st century NFL version of Muskego running the wing tee.
And that's what it was. I mean, okay, you can run blitz that. And you can. I mean, you can run blitz that all day, but it's still going to come out to my guy against your guy.
And when you run blitz, it doesn't that make it harder with
it
the
makes it harder because you missed that gap.
And everything?
You missed that gap. You're gone.
414.
So you can run blitz that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I saw a lot of run blitz, but I mean, you can. But still, it's going to get down to be my man. Your man. Now, like I said, the Tennessee Titans played Kansas City. Who's the defense coordinator for Kansas City? Is it Spagnola? It was like second and like maybe second and five. Spagnola came out with short yards and goal line, second and five, because he knew they was running Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, short yards and goal line. Stopped him. Now, short of that.
And then took him off the field.
Short of that, maybe you want Patton to go into a short line goal line defense, but unlike Tennessee, these guys, San Francisco, got so many weapons outside, they can hurt you if you want to do that.
And unlike a lot of teams, when you bring in your short yardage and goal line package, not a lot of your best players are always on the field for the Green Bay Packers.
It's just beef.
No doubt about it. It's just beef, and that is not where they excel personnel-wise. 414-799-1250, it's open. Time to vent. Time to talk about the offseason, sadly, with you at 414-799-1250. Let's start it up with Ricardo, north of the border in Canada, listening on the radio.com app. Ricardo, you're on the fan.
Hey, guys. Hope everyone's having a better day than I am, because I know it's pretty rough right now. My biggest thing is, obviously, yes, we were outmanned. Their platinum team, their scheme was ridiculous. They were playing chess, we were playing checkers. But my thing was, Mike Penn didn't switch anything up during the game. Now, granted, his guys were getting beat, but Rashawn Gary only had three snaps. Oren Burke only had three snaps. I'm like, well, in a championship game, you got to empty out the bag. Play whoever, just switch up whatever you can. They kept coming out with theirs never lined up over the center. I think it counted maybe once or twice. Like, there was no penetration up the middle. The edge wasn't being set, but it was just, there's nothing. It's like they just took it. They were force-fed, and they just took it. They were just beaten out of submission, and I don't know what Penn was thinking. He should have done something to try and snap out of it, try and narrate a little bit more towards the 49ers rather than just taking it. You know what I mean?
So, Gary, you talked about run blitzing. What else could he have done? Could he have done anything else?
Well, that's about it. Run blitz, going to maybe short yards and goal line. On obvious rundowns, I don't think you do that with this team because they're so good on the outside.
Kittle wasn't even used either.
They said, you know what, George Kittle? We need you to block today.
And they locked him up on Za'Darius Smith all game long.
All game long.
You want to know where Za'Darius Smith was? He was in the 85 jersey.
Yes.
That's why. I mean, like, there were people that I was reading saying, where's Za'Darius Smith? Why is he playing so... Because an All-Pro is on him all game long. And they had no answer for it.
None.
They had no answer for it. And I think Aaron said it as well. And here's the conversation you were talking about, Gary, with Matt LaFleur. They didn't do anything exotic. They just beat you up.
It was not good enough. They definitely did some things schematically to us. Caught us in man coverage a couple times and hit us with, you know, a reverse and around. And but for the most part, it seemed like we were playing a good bit of single safety defense. And when you're in single high, you shouldn't be able to run the ball like that. And I think I looked up one time and saw that Mostert had 20 carries for 200 yards. And that is not going to get it done, not in this league, especially when you know that they're going to try to run the football coming into this game.
I know those.
So I know this is unpopular for all the people that want Mike Pettine fired, but he's telling you, we did. We did something.
We tried something.
We did something. We went to a single high, which means they put another guy in a box, and we just didn't, short of saying, we just didn't get the job done. Short of pointing finger at his players, that's he gave you the schematics or the scheme of what they were trying to do. So all these people who say, well, they didn't do nothing. Sometimes when I put them jokers out there, they got to go play.
Well, one of those people sounded like Za'Darius Smith. We'll bring that to you next here, as Za'Darius Smith did not seem very pleased with some of the schematics that were done. 414-799-1250, breaking down what the thing was that we all had to watch for 4 hours yesterday. Packers and Niners, they could beat 37-20. Also looking ahead into the offseason. It starts now. It's with Gary Ellerson, our Badger and Packer running back. Leap 36 joins us as well. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch. You can be here at 414-799-1250 as well. Wendy's Big Show off and running on a Therapy Monday on the Fan.
I don't know, man. They did a lot of perimeter plays, man. They was out our gaps, man. Something we gotta fix, man.
Yeah, those guys capitalized off our mistakes. They made some big plays when they number was called, and we just gotta, you know, look at the film and be critical of ourselves for, you know, next year and make sure we don't have these same problems, these same mistakes, you know, keep on existing. You know, trying to make sure they, you know, we eliminate these problems and mistakes for next season.
Very open and honest, very candid, Preston and Za'Darius Smith. A little bit more candidness and openness from Za'Darius Smith coming up in just 1 second. It's the Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM in the freeradio.com app. The only show in the state to get some therapy after this just tough loss. Although, I mean, everybody in this room, while a lot of us picked the Packers, I think we all knew that this could happen, sadly. Right?
No question. That's 3-100.
That's the very easiest way to put it, and sadly, you just get pounded in submission certain ways. Jay's on the east side. Let's start up at 414-799-1250. Jay, you're on the Fan.
Yep, I was just calling. It was a disappointing loss, but, you know, you kind of seen it coming after the first few plays, man. But my question was, man, do you think, like, who's ever doing the scouting for them? Have they ever changed people? Like, it seems like they draft, you know, until recently, like, the same slow guys on defense, whether it's, like, linebacker or whatever. I just really think we need to find people with speed, man. You can always work on the art of tackling, but, man, we need people fast, man. It just seemed like you were, like, in like, freshmen, and they were, like, varsity out there. So that's pretty much my take.
That's the pros and the Joes conversation right there. Thanks, Jay.
That's a good question. I think it's fair, because you would think Donnell Savage was drafted because he was fast. Right, I mean that was the hot tag on him.
Yes.
Ball hawk, that played Mustard. I'm gonna just call him Mustard because he reminds me of my favorite DJ, DJ Mustard. So just go with it, people. He just ate up their angle on that.
The long touchdown run.
The draw play. Here's more evidence. They went in this room and said, Garoppolo, you ain't playing today.
Don't worry about it.
George Kittle. Dude, you're a great player. I'll see you in the Super Bowl. I just need you to block. But I need you to buy in, though. If you're not going to buy in, we're going to lose. I need you to buy in. You're not going to have the great – no, it's not going to happen. I need you – every time you put your hands on somebody, dominate them. So much so it's 3rd and 8 out of your whole entire call sheet. They're saying, we're not going to let Jimmy Garoppolo throw a pick. Nah. And we got one of the best outdoor kickers, Robbie Gould. You're going to be the hero today if it comes to it. You're going to kick all field goals. We are not letting Jimmy Garoppolo get in a shootout. No. And I think you guys already covered how many times they throw it, so I don't need to go throw it. But they ran a draw play on 3rd and 8 in the red zone. That's disrespectful, cuz. And I'm telling you, they were so shocked that they scored that they weren't even celebrating. Like, can you believe that worked? Stick to it. Run it again.
Yeah.
Doing red line, 6 plays.
Do it again.
They, 6 plays. But say, okay, and they caught Green Bay in a run blitz. Listen, it happens. They get paid too. They got you on a good call. They didn't even block Califax. Didn't even block him. He's supposed to be trapped, but he got through so quick, you're thinking, what happened? Gone. He's out the gate. Preston Smith, he's going to the quarterback. It's a blitz. If you look at the formation and you look at what they're trying to do, That's what Za'Darius saying, the adjustments. Because that's what we were told in Super Bowl 32. If we had to do it again, we'd do some adjustments. When they were in I formation, offset, and they want to run the football. So I get what he's saying. But he's basically also saying you weren't prepared. You weren't prepared for them to do that. And it's the second time they've outcoached you. Because they basically said Jimmy Garoppolo was not going to be a factor. You know what we're going to do? And I apologize to Steve. I apologize to Gary, too. It's MLK Day, so I got to apologize to Gary, right? Mm-hmm. I got to keep it 100. Run the football, man. All that foolishness about throwing a ball. The two quarterbacks aren't even an issue. You don't need an elite quarterback to get to the Super Bowl. You just happen to have one in Patrick Mahomes. Neither quarterback was effective in the game. Didn't have to be. The one that should have been turned the ball over.
3 times.
And something Gary also said. Steve, he when y'all not around, he give me the real what he thinks. He said, Roy Lee, when I say he, I'm talking about Gary. If he hangs on to the ball, he's not going to see the fifth guy blitzing. I said, what are you talking about? You remember when Jair Alexander ran and sacked?
On the two-point conversion.
Didn't see him because he's looking downfield. I said, okay, let me see how this plays out. I thought to text you, but I don't like to bother you. 24, runs in, untouched. He didn't even sack Aaron. He went for the ball. That's coaching. Don't go in there and hit him with your helmet and you get a flag. Just knock the ball out.
Saw the opening. It was perfect. It was right there. No one saw him, and it was right to his front side.
Rodgers never seen him.
No, they got these mannequins, and they tell us where certain quarterbacks hold the ball when they're down the field. Some guys a little high. Some guys mid-level. Some guys hold it at their waist, cuz. And sometimes guys like Mahomes have it out there left flailing around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But they know where he holds the ball. They've studied that. You come in, no one gets a sack. You just knock the ball out. Because guess what? If you knock the ball out, it is a sack.
It's even better than a sack, and it was a straight turnover, and he did it three different times.
Hey, Billy, I ain't see that.
We sat in here at right around 4:45, Stevie brought it up on Friday and said, what if he does turn the ball over, right? And I start knocking on the wood, and everyone's laughing. Well, that's the one way that you know it's guaranteed a loss.
No doubt.
That along with getting punked up front was the other way that you got beat badly.
I got some smoke.
And this smoke brought to you by Milwaukee's preferred personal injury attorneys,
yes,
Carlson, Blau, and Clemens. Get the injury settlement that you deserve at 414-342-1000.
That's my guy. Cam Newton had a fumble opportunity.
Here we go.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Was that in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it was. Didn't even make an attempt.
But said he quit on his team.
Hey, man,
said.
Listen. This is me now. I said, I don't want my quarterback diving in there and get a hand broke like Mahomes did on fourth down and get hurt his knee. Get out of the way. I'd rather have you for the game. And I said, people just blasting me. No, listen. I don't want Cam Newton going after that fumble. Let the other guys get it. I need you to be upright. I'm the same thing with Aaron Rodgers. I don't need you diving in there trying to get it.
Well, nobody said anything about Rodgers not going. I didn't see that anywhere.
But he's the only one that knows that it's a fumble.
Yeah.
Only two people can know at the time.
Right away, the center and him.
Yeah.
And the nose, actually three.
And Buckner knew it right away.
The nose too.
Get on it or you got to make an effort. Ball. Let the guys know to go get it, but he got to stay out of it. Because if he dives in there and get a concussion, a broken finger or something, hey, man, it ain't going to look right. But it was where it was on the field. That's the problem.
You were going in, and it was your last real chance to get into the game.
You were never going to put the fire out, but you can show, put some sprinkles on a blaze.
At that point, it was 17-0. You cut it to a 2-score game there. You still have the halftime coming up. You still get the ball coming out of halftime. You had opportunities to get back into the game, but that soiled because you ran the ball all drive.
Put pressure on Kyle Shanahan to turn the page on his call sheet. He didn't need to turn the page to the other stuff. Put pressure on Garoppolo to win it for him. But this is a backup who's been cut 6 times.
And plays primarily on special teams. Yeah, plays primarily on special teams. Made the team
starting runner got hurt.
Made a team as a gunner on punt team.
Don't make sense. But look at God, though.
Irv's on the south side at 414-799-1250. Irv, you're on the Fan.
Hey, man, listen, first of all, what pissed me off more is all my Bear fans that live in the city of Milwaukee calling me, talking about the Packers, this and that. You know what? Y'all weren't even invited to the dance. Y'all won't be there next year because y'all mortgage y'all future on Trubisky and Khalil Mack. So don't call or text me no more. Let me get that out the way. They're going to be busters next year. Misery loves company. You know, they were all excited. Packers lost. Oh, y'all weren't even there. Secondly, what made me mad about that game is I'm just tired of this man, Aaron Rodgers, shaking his head in disgust like everybody else not doing what they're supposed to do. No, you didn't do what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be the best player on that field yesterday, and you didn't play like it. And as far as coming up with this on the draft, we need to be linebacker. I was tired of seeing Dean Lowry on his back. Everybody replaceable on that line, except for the Smith brothers and Kenny Clark. But we need somebody who knows how to set the edge and dominate that line. And, you know, just to see the 49ers build up their line from Solomon. You know, everybody thought Solomon was a bust, but he's playing now. He's got the full package around on him. And everybody looks good on that line. But we just got curve stuff. And it ain't the defensive coordinator's fault. It's the players on the field and some people doing some drafting. They took a gamble on this kid on Michigan. I think Montez Sweat would have did us some justice yesterday with them long arms setting the edge. But we got a player sitting on the bench that we drafted on the first round and didn't do us no justice yesterday. And as far as I could go back to the draft before that when they drafted Jair and that other cornerback, they probably could have had another linebacker in that draft that could have helped us in this thing.
Sure.
Trade that pick for OBJ or Devontae Parker. We don't need it.
I love Devontae Parker.
Proven wide receiver on this team. Proven wide receiver. You don't want the package deal with that Drummond come with OBJ? Get Parker.
Appreciate it, Irv. I would have loved that, too.
Love Devontae Parker. First-round pick for him. I mean, that guy's truly amazing.
Sparky, I heard something you talked about on Green and Gold OT last night about just being able to move forward with where the D-line is at. And he brought up Dean Lowry. Dean Lowry's not going anywhere. They just signed him in the beginning of the year, so he's not going anywhere. But if it's, you know, Jeffrey Simmons that would have been better off in this game, being able to set the edge in the middle and give Kenny Clark some help, it's evident last night more than ever that Kenny Clark needs some help, especially if you're going to double-team him pretty much every single time, like the center guard did, despite which side it was. 97 had two guys on him all game long yesterday.
The problem is we can sit here and talk about, well, they should have drafted a defensive lineman. Well, they didn't plan on playing three-down linemen for a majority of a football game. That's not how today's NFL works. They planned on using Za'Darius and Preston Smith majority of the time to get to quarterback. Kenny Clark is going to do his job in the middle. They like Lowry, and they didn't worry about the third down defensive lineman because they didn't plan on playing that guy that much. It's just going to be a rotational piece. How many times this year did they have to play that base 3-4 as much as they did last night in that Niners game? My guess would be none. Not one other game did they get stuck in this situation. But the problem now is as an organization and as a front office, you have to figure out, are we going to go into this offseason with a focus of how are we going to beat San Francisco? Or are we going to go into the offseason with a focus of how are we going to get better and we'll deal with them when we see them? What's it going to be? I think there are two different focuses. Because if the focus is how are we going to beat San Francisco, then you have to figure out how to fix the defense, which means the wide receiver position, the tight end position, that stuff takes a back seat. You got to focus now on how you're going to fix that 3-4 base defense for when you play the Niners. If it's we have to get better as a team and get the best available players to us and not worry about San Francisco and one team necessarily, okay, well, then you're still going to draft a wide receiver early. You're probably going to look at tight end still at some point. Still going to have to get an inside linebacker. But maybe another defensive lineman isn't a big priority because you don't play that 95% of the time. You played 5% of the time, which just happens to be the entire game against the San Francisco 49ers when you see it.
And credit to Kyle Shanahan keeping them in that formation, keeping them in their base defense.
Credit to a couple people. Credit to Kittles for not throwing a fit that he wasn't getting any balls thrown.
Exactly.
Credit to Garoppolo, who Gary was saying, chasing women, not chasing championships, making fun of those guys at the game. But he sucked his ego up and said, I'm good, coach, let's go. Not every quarterback in the National Football League is going to be good with eight throws for under 100 yards.
Rodgers ain't doing eight throws, cuz.
No, it's just not going to be.
He's so into that game plan.
And then you've got Emmanuel Sanders. And everybody had to be on the same page of, we're blocking this whole game, and we are going to sacrifice our numbers and the NFC Championship game to make sure we get this win. Not every team, not every coaching staff willing to do that. It's just not. And you could say it's hard for the players to buy in. It's hard for a coach, too, who's offensive-minded that wants to score a bunch of points, because the automatic thing for a coach, most coaches, is I want to throw the ball. I want to sling it all over the place and put up a bunch of gaudy numbers and score quick. When you're running the football, you're not going to score. Well, you shouldn't, depending on how bad the defense is. You shouldn't score as quick as if you're Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs with speedsters everywhere and you're throwing it down the field and getting big chunk plays.
But that's never been Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan has always wanted to run the football. I mean, go back to even his days in Washington with the RG3 team that he tailored in. That team ran the ball.
Thing.
Then you go to Cleveland before they made him start Johnny Manziel and Mike Benton was that coach. Ran the ball. Go to Atlanta. He had two backs. He gave them the ball at least 15, 20 times a game.
Right. And I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm saying a majority of offensive-minded head coaches in this league are not going to have the patience to do what he did in that game. They're
right, because they're not as good as he is.
Fine.
Everybody wants to say that Sean McVay is this genius that came out of somewhere. No, look at this dude who gave Sean McVay a job. Let's also go back to where the top of it is. When you call yourself a genius, look at the guy that maybe taught you the lesson plan. 414-799-1250. We're all venting here as this is frustrating.
That's what we're going to do all day.
As easy. And maybe, you know, vents are what you need J&J contractor to help you out with.
Well, yeah. Well, you got to have some
ventilation.
Got to have some ventilation. I mean, because we're going to come in, we're going to test some walls out. Guys, are you looking to remodel your new home?
I bet you a lot of guys put some holes in some drywall.
Yeah, you might need it.
Yeah,
we do a little bit more than patchwork, though. We do a little bit more.
No, they knock the whole wall down.
But if you got
livable space now.
If you tore up some walls and knock them down, we can come in and go ahead and start renovating them because you've already started the renovation process already. Guys, call my good friends up today at J&J Contracts and ask for Jason. If you want to renovate your home, like kitchen cabinets, countertops, bathroom, new bathroom, add in some livable space to your house. Maybe you want to add on to your house and you want to do an outdoor man cave. I mean, that's going to be coming down the pike soon because I feel it's going to be getting warm soon. And if you want to, like, say your kids are gone there out of your house and you want to turn your basement to a man cave, well, they can do that too, guys. Call my good friends up today at J&J Contractors and ask for Jason.
And if you're on your way to the Milwaukee Bucks-Chicago Bulls game, note the start time 4 o'clock today, right after the game. I'll be on with the Pick and Save Pro Hoops post-game show live here on 105.7 FM The Fan. Taking your Packer reaction until then on 105.7 FM The Fan.
Perimeter plays, man. That's something we couldn't stop. I know we should have fixed that on the sideline, but we didn't. Yeah.
Is that a way to neutralize pass rush? You're just able to run the ball and you drop back 8 times. You know, it's hard to affect the game as a passer.
Nah, I ain't going to say that, man. We just need to make adjustments. You know, that was probably something we didn't do, but now we know. And as we go on to next year, we'll be able to fix these situations when we're in them.
Za'Darius Smith, pretty open and honest. Yeah, no, we just had to make some adjustments. One of the adjustments that would have helped would not have been getting blown off the football. Also would have been able to put a hand on Raheem Mostert. Gary, as a former running back for you, when you hear 146 yards before contact, what do you think?
I'm thinking somebody getting blown to football. I mean, but Billy, here's the thing, adjustment, right? So here's how this normally works. Now, I let Leroy talk about it on the defensive side of the ball, but even if it's offense, you know what the coach comes up to you? Well, you know what he say? What are they doing to you out there?
Yeah.
Asks you what it is.
Yeah.
What are they doing to you?
Because his angle ain't the same as
you. You ain't saying, I can't. What are they doing to you out there? That's kind of what they come up. And you have to say, well, coach, they hooked me. I'm getting hooked.
Got to fight through it.
Right. And then he said, hey, outside arm got to be free. Outside arm got to be free.
By hook or crook.
And then if you're outside on free, they're going to allow Leroy to come in and feel. He'll make the tackle.
Like a knife through a
butter. You may not make the tackle, but he's got a feel. And I don't know if that wasn't going on, but I sure hell know if I'm getting run up on like that, I'm going to one of them jokers and say, hey, what are they doing to you out there? And Leroy's got to answer it.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest things, too, wherever you want to go, they took you. So if you got a stunt and you just like a
they
Me
washed
Too
him
stunt,
down.
Yeah.
If you want to go in the A-gap, I'll just take you there. And you tell the back, you got to cut off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's all he did. The one he ran up the middle, one of his four touchdowns. You never should be untouched running up the middle because you got a safety standing right there. And you got two people he has to go
past. That's the one where they lined up Kittle on the bottom of the screen against Shannon Sullivan and just acted like he was running a go and just, here, take it.
Here's why I think Kyle Shanahan had a great game plan. Every time he ran the ball, they ran like six or seven plays, but he had movement with it.
Always motion.
He got guys
moving
around.
Well, it's just
like
the Packers.
I used to tell people that all the time. If you just line up, come out of the huddle and line up, we can dominate you.
Yeah, put some window dressing on it.
But anytime you move a guy, you're going from strong to weak, weak back to strong real quick. You need folks out there to know what they're doing.
The NFL had like a whole celebration of the whole 100-year anniversary of football in one game. We went from the 20s through the 60s in the entire first half.
Sure did.
An hour and a half of game time without, or real time of yesterday without Jimmy Garoppolo throwing the football.
Crazy.
Wayne's in Dallas. He's up on the fan. Hey, Wayne. What's on your mind today, Wayne?
Talk, Wayne.
Nope. He goes to the hold. Rams on north side. He's up on the fan. Ram, what's on your mind today?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Ram, what are you doing to you out there?
Hey, man. I'm going to go back to Leroy. You know, in basketball, you always talk about having shooters.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To me, the new NFL is about scoring, man. I get everything you're saying, but when I saw the way San Francisco scored, okay, the 8 o'clock killed Rodgers off the field, but we only had two weapons on offense. And it's just like in basketball. If you got one guy, if you got Jordan running on a pole, you put two or three people on him, that shuts you down. And, like, just think about this, Leroy and Sparky and Baby T. Just think about our division. Some of the wide receivers that's in the central, that if the Packers had one or two of them to go with Rodgers, you could spread the field. And the Kansas City game, man, they got weapons, man.
Yeah, they do.
Man, they scary. I'm talking about. And they come out there with so much confidence, like they can be down. Like, oh, it's no problem. We got P-Money over here. We got P-Money. And it's not just that. When you got speed, they playing off the cushion on every play. And you go, so he's just picking his heart. Well, where am I going to go this time? Rodgers still got an arm, but he really don't have but one person to throw the ball to. And if you put two or three people on him, you just hoping they don't get picked off. And he's back there scrambling because nobody couldn't get open.
Appreciate it, Ram. That's difficult to say the least. And when, I mean, early on, the efficiency was there. I mean, it was whatever it was, 7 of 7 for 42 yards. But there was just, there was no movement downfield. The only time that they were really able to get the ball moving offensively was when they ran the ball.
Yep.
But when you're getting blown out, you just can't keep running the football like that. And that's how the under hits on Aaron Jones of 68.5.
But my thing is, you could throw the ball. And we talked about this. You could throw the ball to Aaron Jones or Jamal and get him out of space. Just dump it to him. They did not use Tyler Irvin in the offense like I thought they would. It's almost like a wasted talent to have a guy that explosive and don't use him some. Even if it's like they were using Deebo Samuel, just having fake these, you know, jet sweeps or something with motion. This offense just doesn't look like the one that they played against. Mm-hmm. It looked like the one. The Rams, a lot of movement. So here's my thing that I came up with real quick. Now, this is not at the crossroads by no stretch. Because, listen, this team was 4-12 last year. They're in the Super Bowl. This team was 6-9-1 last year. They was in the NFC Championship game. So it's a fluid situation. But if you're Matt LaFleur, on your way home, when you're alone away from your wife and kids, you have to say to yourself, we're not getting rid of Aaron Rodgers.
No.
So I got to figure out, is this the best offense that's tailor-made for him? If it's not, then go get your offensive coordinator to implement his system that's more like what Eric Bieniemy is doing in Kansas City. Now, notice I said Eric Bieniemy, not Andy Reid, because Andy Reid wants you to know who's calling the plays.
And it's pretty evident that Eric Bieniemy is calling the plays.
EB is calling the plays. Yeah. That's why he wants the guy to get an interview and they won't hire him. I mean, the guy down 24-0. Kansas City was down 34 points in two games and came back to win. That's elite. And that's what I was hoping that Aaron Rodgers would do.
So, Leroy, you talked about just there earlier on when you said this offense doesn't look the same as that offense, doesn't look the same as the Rams. The question now becomes, because now you're into the offseason, Sparky, is that personnel or is that decision-making? Because right now it sure feels like more of it is on the personnel and the talent gap that obviously is there between the 49ers and the Packers.
Okay, so...
here we go.
You want to talk about this Packers offense and wide receivers. I was thinking about this. How does MVS go from being as good as he was last year to being non-existent this year?
Played one snap.
How does Jake Kumerow go from looking like he's going to be a part of this offense at the end of last year to being a non-factor in this offense this year? I mean, we can sit and go round and round, but to me, if I'm the general manager of this team, those are the answers I want. You two, you 12, you Aaron Rodgers, and you, Mr. LaFleur, you both need to tell me what happened to those two players who I watched the previous year look great, especially MVS. And now he's just a non-factor, like, eh, no big deal. And if I'm the general manager, I'm not willing to move on from MVS and go, oh yeah, I got to go find a replacement for him. Kumerow, whatever. He's been around the league a little bit. If you want to move on from Kumerow, that's on you. But the MVS thing, you can't move on from MVS because of this year. You have to figure out how to get him more involved in the offense. Lazard, he blew up onto the scene. Am I supposed to buy that Lazard's the next guy? Well, we thought MVS was the next guy last year. And look what happened this year. So you just don't know. And I'm not going to sit here and put blame on the quarterback or blame on the coach because I don't know. What I do know is these two guys are going to have to sit down and figure out what this offense is going to look like going forward. It's going to be year two of the offense. And when we talked about it at the beginning of the year, we said game one will not look like game 16 for the Green Bay Packers offensively. They're going to grow, they're going to adjust, and they're going to continue to do different things. And that's what's going to happen again next year. You're going to get into training camp and they're going to have their view. The problem is you really can't have that conversation right now. Why? Because you got to get through free agency and figure out what this GM is going to do. Is he going to get you Emmanuel Sanders? Is he going to get you Amari Cooper? Is he going to get you somebody to play opposite Devontae Adams? Or is he going to give you back the same offense you have already? After free agency, the draft's done. You get a third-round wide receiver and a seventh-round wide receiver, and he doesn't draft a tight end. Okay, well, you have to go back to the games with what you have already. Have that conversation about the offense. That's where you're at. At this point to me, I don't understand how MVS just disappeared for an entire season after what he showed last year.
That doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
I think they found out he was a one-trick pony, just deep, no wiggle, just straight down line.
That felt like more than just the coaching staff deciding him not to be on the field for more than one snap, right? Doesn't that feel like it's more of an organizational discussion?
Him and Owen Burks looks like Tarzan play like that.
But Burks never showed you.
But something
MVS did.
Here's the issue. Something that they see him in practice every day is preventing them from putting him out there. Every day, something happens to where they say, man, look at this guy. He's a specimen. How can he not be on the field? Just play special teams or six snaps.
Could it be doesn't know the plays? Don't know the playbook?
I don't know.
It's been a full damn season.
That's for them to answer that question.
Or maybe he was a better fit for McCarthy's offense.
Well, he's here now. So
I'm just
that's
saying,
a question
you,
for them.
If you ask the difference to me, I'm just grasping.
You want Randall Cobb back?
In a heartbeat. You should never let him go.
Does he fit this offense?
He ain't coming back here.
No. They need somebody.
McCarthy ain't letting him go.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, McCarthy ain't letting him go. But if he's available, he'll be the guy. Cobb will be the guy that'll teach everybody the offense.
Because he's a free agent.
You know what the guy Humphreys did? He go in the game, get a first down, go put his coat back on.
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
That's what he does. For Tennessee, that's a kid that come out, they got him from Tampa, I think. First down, he's just go in, sit down, get me a first down, and go put your coat back on.
I don't know exactly how many of those type of guys are still available, but we do have a bunch of names that fit those protocols, being able to catch the football. Also, maybe some run stuffers that can help the Green Bay Packers, and we'll look through all of those as well. It's 414-799-1250 if you want to get in line. Time to vent with us here on the Wendy's Big Show. And maybe this is just one of those final daggers in your soul that says, you know what, that's it. I'm done sitting here. I'm done wasting my time. I'm going to go make some more money with Young Express.
Young Express coming. We talk about so much continuing to grow. Coming, it's been in business for over 27 years. But coming, it's been listed on Inc. magazine as one of America's fastest growing companies 7 out of 8 years. They're currently looking to add positions in their sales departments. All you have to do is go online and apply. JUNGExpress.com. So you want to work in sales. All right. Here's what Young Express is looking for. High degree of integrity, energetic, friendly personality, willing to prospect new business via phone, email, and social selling, reliable transportation, willingness to travel within an assigned territory, high school diploma or equivalent, outside sales experience is preferred, excellent written, oral, and face-to-face communication skills are essential, closing and follow-up skills are a must. Now, what can you expect from Young Express? Well, 40-hour work week, salary plus commissions, bonuses and contests, generous mileage reimbursement, expense account, health insurance, 401k, and a cell phone, tablet, and all sales and promotional materials provided to you by Young Express. Plus, my favorite part, a fun and exciting environment and a chance to grow. Isn't that what we all want, a chance to get bigger and better? Apply for the position that fits your passion right now at youngexpress.com. That's JUNGExpress.com. Young Express, success drives them.
Our own Mike Clemens and Joe Zenzola going to be trekking their way back here to Wisconsin. We'll hear from Mike Clemens live in Santa Clara at 4:48. He's got a report for you. We're back next with you on The Fan.
Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. Here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers season ends with a 37-20 loss to the 49ers here at Levi's Stadium. This is the third time Devontae Adams has come to within a game of going to the Super Bowl.
I mean, one game or two, I mean, it sucks either way. So, I mean, you either get the trophy or you don't. So if you don't take care of your business, you will be eliminated.
The Packers' defense could not stop the 49ers' run game, led by Raheem Mostert, who rushed for 220 yards and scored 4 touchdowns. Matt LaFleur.
It seemed like we were playing a good bit of single safety defense, and when you're in single high, you shouldn't be able to run the ball like that. I think I looked up one time and saw that Mostert had 20 carries for 200 yards, and that is not going to get it done.
Mostert says he appreciates the opportunity he got in San Francisco.
I've been on 7 different teams. I actually still have, you know, the cut dates, and I look at that before every game when I got cut. But whoever gave me the opportunity, and this organization has done a great job with that.
The 49ers jumped out to a 27-0 lead before halftime. Packers safety Adrian Amos.
It seemed like at a point, you know, they was running whatever they wanted to run, really. You know, it was just one of them days where, you know, you just couldn't stop them.
That's Packers safety Adrian Amos. From Levi's Stadium, I'm Mike Clemens.
Best Packers coverage on 105.7 FM, The Fan. The 49ers ended the Packers season. What holes need to be filled in the offseason? What will they do in the draft? We look forward to talking about the 2020 Packers season on The Fan.
Did you know that the greater majority of all divorce cases are filed by people without legal representation? My guess is that most of them probably think they can't afford a good divorce lawyer. I'm attorney David Karp with Karp & Yonku, where we offer affordable and aggressive legal representation for your divorce and a free consultation. Don't try to handle your case yourself. You could make crucial mistakes. Let us do the work for you.
414-453-0800.
KARPLawFirm.com. It looks like divorce is going to be your only option. And now you're looking for a divorce attorney who will be able to help you get custody of your children. I know that nothing could be more important to you than your kids. So you need to know your rights. I'm divorce attorney David Karp. Call me today for a free consultation, and I'll walk you through how I can help get you custody of your children. With my help, you have a very good chance of getting the outcome you're hoping for.
414-453-0800.
KARPLawFirm.com.
Sarah's complex is right here, Riverstone Apartments. Do you have the gate code?
No. Do you have the gate code?
No, just follow that guy's car in. We can beat the gates.
Good call.
Whoa, these things are really fast.
No matter how it happened, Caliber Collision makes it like it never did. With high-quality repairs faster than ever, we restore the rhythm of your life. Yeah. Caliber Collision.
How do we get your car out of here?
I don't know. Do you have the gate code?
Hey guys, Bart Winkler, Chuck and Winkler, weekday morning 6 to 10 on The Fan. And it's over. It has to be over. It's our destiny here in the state of Wisconsin. We'll be talking off-season right here on AM 1250 and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
After every Bucks win, hurry into any participating Wisconsin Wendy's and purchase a medium drink to get your choice of a free small chili or a free junior bacon cheeseburger. You'll need to act fast, though. This offer is only good for 24 hours after each Bucks win. At Wendy's, when the Bucks win, you win.
Probably not the guy to ask. You know, I like to play GM or like manager in my soccer mode in FIFA, and that's pretty fun when it's like, you know, I enjoy that. But I'm not, I don't know. I mean, I think you're always looking to add good football players, and that's offense, defense, I don't think that matters. So I'm sure that's what they'll be looking to do no matter what. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
That's a open and honest answer for somebody that might not even know if he's going to be here next year, as Brian Bulaga discusses what maybe the Packers need going into the offseason for him as a free agent.
Because he's seen
it. He's going to make a lot of money.
He's seen it.
What does that mean?
The Packer organization, how they work, what they do. He knows.
With his linemen. With his other linemen.
Yeah, he's seen it. Right down the line. He's seen it.
You think he's back next year?
I think he's got to come back, but what do I know?
Yeah. No, I don't know how you don't bring him back.
I don't know how you don't bring him. Where's his replacement at?
Every guy that left had a replacement. He doesn't.
Let's see. Who left?
TJ Sitton. Josh Sitton.
Josh Sitton. Who was his replacement?
Lane Taylor, right?
Where is he at now?
No, he had his replacement. That was
Elgin. He wasn't his replacement. They were done.
Hey.
When they want to move on, who else?
Alex Light.
TJ Lane, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who was his replacement?
Never had one.
Never had one. They just be done. Now, I don't know if Gunnikus works the same way.
Yeah, Gunnikus a little different.
I don't know if he works the same way, but you don't. That, now you with Billy Turner. They never replace TJ Lane because they just know when they're done.
Bulaga's back.
And they always feel like if I'm a year too early, it's better than being a year too late.
So be it.
Let's be honest, Josh Sitton and TJ Lang, once they left, we're done.
They broke down.
Yeah,
they did.
Sure.
They broke down, but they didn't have a replacement for him. So just because they don't have a replacement don't mean that they're not going to let these guys go. To me, you got to bring back Brian Bulaga. But what the hell I know with these guys? I mean, Bulaga don't know. I mean, look at Blake Martinez.
Yeah,
that joker crying.
Night,
how? I don't know for the life of me how you let him go. Is there a replacement for him? No. Hey, are you going to go draft a guy in the first round, throw him out there on the first day?
And communicate the defense? I don't know about that. I don't know if they think that Joe Schobert can be that in free agency, Corey Littleton can be that in free agency, but all of those dudes are still not the run-stuffing linebacker that everybody now apparently wants,
man,
because that's what they just saw last.
If you'd have got the guy I wanted in Indianapolis, Quentin, what is his name from?
Quentin Nelson.
I wanted him so bad. Didn't get him. Well, for whatever. Okay, listen. You got to build the line because the San Francisco guys ain't going nowhere. They're all babies. The Bolson, they're all babies. They're going to be there for the next 5 to 7 years. You got to have somebody to block them. But moving forward, you got to figure out a way that they like to throw this word out, stale. Now, you played these guys twice, and the same old thing. 74 points. Let me do the math. 37.
Mm-hmm.
Carry the one and bring the two over and move the decimal point. You only scored 28. That's a lot of daylight between.
Well, them 28 points ain't even real.
But I'm just saying, man. I'm just get out of my conversation.
However you wanted to slice it, they got
that's a lot of daylight.
And
that's a lot of daylight.
When Steve brings it up earlier of how are you going to go in here, Sparky, are you going to try to attack to beat San Francisco
or my boy Pallet?
Make your team better? I don't think they're in position to do what the Atlanta Falcons did and make one move to try to say, going to beat the Green Bay Packers.
That's what Gary told me.
So they did for Julio Jones.
Right. That's right.
That's the Julio Jones
when how many players they traded, Steve?
Like, traded 100. 4 draft picks.
Because me, Steve, and this other guy had this other show. And we were talking about that. And Gary goes, the Atlanta Falcons going to find a way to beat the Green Bay Packers. And it was Julio Jones. And they did that. Remember,
well, they got to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fine.
4 or 5 years later, they got there.
The Packers ain't never had to figure out how to beat nobody since Aaron Rodgers been there for a decade. They ain't never had to do it. Remember, Minnesota Steve had to figure out, how do I stop Green Bay?
Correct.
Chicago, hey, man, go get Khalil Mack. We need to stop Aaron Rodgers. Nobody has the Green Bay Packers. Well,
and you're right, because Seattle wasn't really a threat, because you felt like you were still there and that you could beat them.
Yeah, you felt like you could beat
them. You were still over them.
And but they were one-off.
But San Fran right now feel like,
ready your pay, man.
That's a long way.
And they got a battle with Seattle, too, because Seattle thinking, all I got to need is a running game. I can beat them.
And you got the Saints. You look,
but their quarterback, 115 years old, the Atlanta, and that may
right,
be unpaid.
You're right. The Atlanta Falcons thought they were one player away. That was more than one player away.
Yeah,
well, they're more than one player away.
About to say from, that, because that's a topic. Don't do
they're
that.
They're more
now.
Than one player.
Don't do that
from
now.
San
that's
Fran.
That's a topic. I mean,
one gigantic trade on draft day is not going to fix
that. I tell you right now, you show.
Write that one down, Steve. That's a topic.
They got to go back to San Fran next year again.
100.
And you don't want no rookie tackle with Bosa. Hell, back there, I had a tough time with him yesterday.
Okay, so Bulaga, I looked it up on Spotrac.
Yeah.
So they have this new feature on here called market value for certain players. He had an average of 6.75 this year. They project through this market one annually.
Yeah.
Comfortable with that?
That ain't enough.
That's not enough.
No, he doesn't have a backup. You want Val Deer to be your starter? I mean, the man played good.
He's 31.
God is good. He has now, if they had drafted somebody and they shaping this guy up, that number will probably be back 7 if we ask you to come back. That ain't enough. If I'm Bulaga, I'm going to go somewhere else and get $15 million a year. Somebody go overpay a big, strong tackle that plays hurt. And that's what he's been doing.
Well, if you think about it, that's what happened to T.J. Lane.
He yeah, went somebody else is going to give him more money.
And yes.
Got overpaid in Detroit. He loved that.
As he should.
Sure.
As he should.
Similar to
get paid.
The Milwaukee Bucks with Chris Middleton, right? Like, where else are you going to go?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Blake Martinez. Mm-hmm. Where else are you going to go? Mm-hmm. What else are you going to do? And
that's another topic.
Who else are you going to take up? So, I mean, it is the top of the hour, so we got to take a quick timeout. We're going to get back to the phone calls, I promise. We'll be right back here with you guys at 414-799-1250. Chance for you to get in line at 414-799-1250. You can also tweet us at 1057FM, The Fan. That's Leap 36, Leroy Butler, the Hall of Fame finalist. Gary Ellerson, former Badger and Packer running back, here as well on the phones. And I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, along with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, with you on the Wendy's Big Show, 1057FM, The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.